independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
We are the Hammer and Nigel Show, filling in for Chad Benson tonight. Communicate a couple of different ways, at Chad Benson Show. Or you can find us on Twitter, at Hammer and Nigel. And we are. You could also give us a shout, 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. Hammer, we have an update on the Blaze's Tommy Lahren.
It is being reported now that Tommy Lahren is out at the Blaze. The verbiage that they're using is that Tommy has been, quote, banned permanently from the Blaze television network by Glenn Beck.
What does that mean? They got her mugshot in the lobby and they won't let her in? is that what that means? Do not let this person near the studio.
Her headshots hanging up on the wall of shame somewhere. We talked about this, you know, a lot on our Twitter feed the last week and on our local show that we do as well. This is an interesting discussion for me because this is not about abortion to me.
Well, reset what she said on The View.
Long story short, she went on The View and said that she was pro-choice.
Right.
Which, you know, if you work at the Blaze, you're putting yourself out there on an island with that, you know, point of view. She backed it up with the reasons why. Now, you might not like what she had to say. You might not agree. And a lot of people don't agree with what she had to say.
And by the way, she has conservative views on national security and immigration and social justice and things of that sort. But she just went on The View and said that, look, I have kind of a libertarian philosophy that the big government, you know, I want the government to stay out of my life. I don't want it to stay out of my body. And that's why she said she was pro-choice. And Glenn Beck suspended her for a week. And that was a couple of weeks ago, I believe.
Right. And just breaking now, we found out Tommy Lahren is out at the Blaze.
I'm looking at TMZ.com here. Tommy Lahren and the Blaze are finished with each other. And now they're deep in negotiations to settle up. Sources familiar with the situation tell us after Glenn Beck suspended Tommy over her comment on The View, Tommy went to the head honchos at the Blaze and said she wanted out. There's clearly bad blood. Sources at the Blaze say Tommy's getting trashed. Quote, she's too crazy for us. Those are the sources. You know what we say about TMZ? They're usually pretty right on the money.
You can bash, you know, any website you want. You can call TMZ gossipy or whatever, but TMZ is right pretty much 99% of the time.
So real quick, Cameron, we will get to the healthcare stuff and who's to blame here about this whole debacle, but you think that Tommy leaving the Blaze or being suspended or fired or negotiated or whatever, this was like kind of a bad look on the Blaze's part?
Not necessarily for the network and their core beliefs, but this is a bad look for Glenn Beck, and this is why. Again, this is not about abortion for me. This is about somebody having the right to express their points of view. If you're going to be a network based on the right side of the political scale, you can't censor somebody for stating their thoughts when they back it up with opinion, because that's what the left does. That's what liberals do. When, you know, somebody goes and speaks at a college in California and people protest because they don't want to hear the speaker. That's what the left does. So Tommy probably unwisely went on The View. I think we'll all agree that wasn't the best look for somebody that works at the Blaze. And then she made these comments. You can agree with her. You can disagree with her. A lot of people did both. But I think she's got the right to say it. And for Glenn Beck to blow her out like that, to censor her like that, that's what the left does. That's what Democrats do. And that's the part that bothers me the most here. And now we're also hearing, again, this is from TMZ a week ago, there's a lot of behind-the-scenes drama with Glenn Beck and with Tommy. The Tommy people feel like Glenn Beck is threatened by her, that he is upset she's the star of the network. And honestly, from somebody that's done marketing in his life like I have, this is a bad business move and a bad move by a boss.
We don't know what's going on behind the scenes, though, Hammer. You have no clue. Something tells me this probably wasn't the first incident that they've run into. I mean, this kind of blew up in her face. I thought it was, we at one point thought it was kind of a marketing ploy. She went on there and said that. We thought, I remember you and I talked about it on the air, that we thought maybe it was kind of a smoke and mirrors thing where Glenn Beck said, hey, we're getting a lot of coverage out of this. Why don't we just take you off the air for a week and, you know, people will still be talking about it. But apparently that wasn't the case. More from TMZ.com and then we'll move on. TMZ.com writes, we're told she has 6 months left on her contract and the Blaze was willing to pay her out. But that would mean Tommy couldn't work until October. We're told both sides are negotiating her exit and she will get less than 6 months of remaining salary, but she'll be able to take another job. Again, that's from TMZ.com.
Again, this isn't about points of view. This is about, to me, Glenn Beck being a bad manager. Tommy is your star, whether he wants to admit it or not. You might like Glenn Beck's points of views better, but let's be honest. People like hot blonde 20-somethings.
Yeah, but do you want the star of your conservative network to go out on a mainstream liberal television show and say she's pro-choice? I mean, you said there's, of course, it's freedom of speech without freedom of consequences.
Right? I go back to an analogy former Dallas Cowboys coach Jimmy Johnson once did.
All right.
There was a practice team player that fell asleep in a team meeting, and he cut him like that.
Yeah.
When asked what he would have done had that been Troy Aikman, his response was, probably get him a pillow.
Okay, I get it.
If somebody is your bread and butter, the way Tommy is at the Blaze, yeah. No offense to Dana, no offense to anybody else, but Tommy was the franchise. You got to treat her a little bit better than that.
What are the odds Tommy winds up at Fox News?
I think pretty good.
What do you think there, huh?
I think she fits everything they're trying to accomplish.
Oh, yeah.
Everything.
You know, Donald Trump kind of fits that same analogy. I've always thought of Donald Trump as kind of like the problem wide receiver on an NFL team. Hey, as long as you're producing, as long as you're catching passes and scoring touchdowns, act any way you want on or off the field. We just want wins, wins, wins.
Right.
But when things get haywire, Hammer, you got to be prepared to take some flack.
You put up with a T.O. You put up with a Randy Moss when they're catching long bombs. But when it's contract negotiation time or the offseason and they act like a fool, then you've got the leverage. I absolutely get that.
And this healthcare thing is a big problem. And you tune in today to you look at the stock market today, just horrible because of all this news. And Trump's Team Trump, what do you think here, man? You've had the weekend to let the fact that this healthcare disaster of a bill didn't get through. You've had the weekend to let it sink in. Has your mind changed at all on anything in terms of how this affects Team Trump?
After having a few beers over the weekend, watching some great basketball, this is where I'm at with the entire situation. There are three things that went through my mind. Number one, this was like Christmas morning, New Year's Eve combined for the folks at CNN. Because nobody hates Donald Trump more than the folks at CNN. And when this healthcare bill went down in flames, this was Jake Tapper's reaction.
Yes! Yes! Oh, yeah! Can you feel that, buddy? Huh? Huh?
Didn't sound like Jake Tapper to me.
Okay, that might not have been Jake Tapper, but the reaction of Ace Ventura there was not all that different than the folks at CNN. Secondly, how long did Team Trump know that this thing was a turd? Because we're getting reports now that Vice President Pence, the week before the vote went down, was adamant about Donald Trump not calling this Trump Care, but calling it Ryan Care, because he did not want Donald Trump's name on it.
Nobody wanted their name on it. Was there anybody who was like, heck yeah, let's go, I vote yes, rah, rah, rah? Was there anybody that was cheerleading this bill?
No, and that's a problem.
Donald Trump was. I guess kind of. He just wanted to get it done. He wanted one in the win column for the old Trumpster.
Right. And did not get that. And now we have the question of who's to blame. So on Friday, after this whole embarrassing saga goes down, they trot Paul Ryan out there. And instead of blaming a person, Paul Ryan blames the whole situation on growing pains.
I will not sugarcoat this. This is a disappointing day for us. Moving from an opposition party to a governing party comes with growing pains. And, well, we're feeling those growing pains.
Show me that smile.
Show me that smile.
Growing pains are to blame, Nigel. Not the fact that they had 7 years to sit down and come up with a plan. growing pains.
I mean, there's an element there. I mean, Republicans never expected to be in this position. They literally got caught with their pants down, and it was 7 years of saying how bad Obamacare was. Obamacare, bad, 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 bad. And then it was Democrats who'd say, okay, it's bad, but what's your solution? And now the fact that the Republicans are actually in a position to make a change, they literally got caught with their pants down.
You can't cram the night before an exam right. and expect good things to happen. So Paul Ryan goes out, blames it on growing pains. Donald Trump comes out immediately afterwards, and he kind of sticks up for Paul Ryan a little bit.
Here we go.
I like Speaker Ryan. He worked very, very hard. A lot of different groups. He's got a lot of factions. I think Paul really worked hard. And I would say that we will probably start going very, very strongly for the big tax cuts and tax reform. That'll be next.
He said, I still maintain he sounds like the dude in Big Lebowski there. A lot of factions, a lot of ins, a lot of outs.
It's a very complicated case, Maude. You know, a lot of ins, a lot of outs, a lot of what kind of dudes. And a lot of strands to keep in my head, man.
Strands to keep in the duder's head there. Yeah, that's exactly how Donald Trump's explaining what went wrong with health care.
It's a very complicated case.
So after that was done, it looked like everybody was taking the high road, right? Everybody was all right. Nobody was pointing fingers directly. And then later in the weekend, Donald Trump sends out this very ominous, very bizarre tweet promoting everybody to go watch Judge Jeanine's show on Fox.
That's all it said.
Yeah, not a lot of people knew what it was about. Maybe we thought he was going to be on the show. And Judge Jeanine opens up the show like this.
Paul Ryan needs to step down as Speaker of the House.
You got to wonder if Paul Ryan saw Trump's tweet and was like, oh, I better tune in. I got to see what this is about.
Now, this is the thing that bothers me. Donald Trump kind of backtracked a little bit from it, saying that he didn't know that Judge Jeanine was going to do that. Bull crap. There is no way Donald Trump did not know Judge Jeanine was going to spit fire at Paul Ryan.
Has he ever tweeted about Judge Jeanine before in the history of Twitter?
No, not at all.
He absolutely knew that was going to happen.
So the question...
Why else? I don't... Yeah, the fact that he even promoted it on Twitter was interesting, and now I kind of... It all becoming clear, Hammer.
The question I have for you, do we have to have blame before we move on to tax reform, or can you just go straight into tax reform and call that a mulligan?
No, there's got to be somebody to blame. And you've been saying it for weeks, Paul Ryan's going to be the fall guy on this. Somebody has to be blamed. How do you hold anybody accountable for anything if you don't lay the blame at somebody's feet?
So here's the deal. Tweet at us right now, at Hammer and Nigel. Does there need to be blame before moving on to tax reform? Does it have to be done? At Hammer and Nigel.
We are the Hammer and Nigel Show, filling in for Chad Benson. We'll be back.
America's funniest cisgendered privileged white male with a bully pulpit the size of a divided nation. Here's Chad Benson.
Fired up to be filling in for Chad Benson tonight. The next couple of nights, we are the Hammer and Nigel Show. My name is Nigel. That's Jason Hammer sitting right over there. You can find us on Twitter at Hammer and Nigel. Do you say we had a good tweet?
Right. Linda tweets in. We asked the question: who's to blame for this, and can you move forward with tax reform without having blame? Linda tweets: just blame everybody. Democrats and Republicans for this debacle.
Yep.
Words of wisdom. I'm with you, Linda. Agree 100%. We'll be talking more about health care a little bit later on tonight. It's the big dominant story, but there are other stories going on that warrant our attention. There's a horrific situation at a Cincinnati nightclub, and I'm not sure how much you've been following what's going on in the Mexican prison, but it's not good. So first of all, let's backtrack just a little bit. Donald Trump campaigned hardcore on a lot of things. Tax reform, the wall, health care.
National security.
The tax reform is on deck. The health reform flamed out and burned. But national security is something where I think he can win a lot of people back. Let's go back in time to Donald Trump talking about the things he would like to accomplish in terms of securing our borders.
We have to have strong borders. We have to keep the drugs out of our country. We are right now, we're getting the drugs, they're getting the cash.
Dateline Mexico. 29 inmates have escaped a Mexican prison.
Good God.
14 of them still at large.
They're probably all headed here.
How does this happen?
They're headed straight to San Francisco, Sanctuary City.
They dug tunnels inside their prison cells and escaped the outdated jail.
Good Lord, that's like almost, it's becoming a cliche.
This is what El Chapo did, basically, when he escaped the Mexican prison system. But this time, it wasn't one, it wasn't five, 29.
Wow.
Mexican prisoners escaped.
Wouldn't you try to escape if you were incarcerated in a Mexican prison, though?
Well, clearly, it's easy. You're an idiot if you can't escape these things.
You see the picture of this thing? It's like, it's literally like somebody took a shovel and dug a hole right in the middle of the jail cell.
At what point do these prison guards and wardens start checking for tunnels? Because it seems like this is a ongoing problem. When you line up everybody at the beginning of the day or the end of the night, you snap that rubber glove on, you check for razor blades in the mouth, contrabands in the backside, and then I'm walking into your cell to make sure you're not going all Shawshank and have dug a hole or have a poster up where there's some sort of hole in the wall.
Maybe just lift up the carpet and check to see if there's any shenanigans going on underneath there.
29 inmates escaped, 14 still at large, and Nigel, of those 14, one of them has already carjacked someone to get a vehicle to flee.
You're kidding.
No. So it's not like we're talking about accountants getting free. This isn't Andy Dufresne. These are some bad dudes that are now out there, or as Donald Trump would say, bad hombres, that are out there heading for sanctuary cities.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with Donald Trump being tough on national security. Be tougher, please.
At Hammer and Nigel, our Twitter handle. We'll be right back. Hammer and Nigel filling in for Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Hammer and Nigel here filling in for Chad Benson. My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer sitting right across from me. And just a few minutes, we're going to get to this whole Sean Hannity, Ted Koppel thing. They rolled Ted Koppel's tired old bones out to interview Sean Hannity. And of course, there's controversy. Koppel kind of showed his true colors. We'll get to that here in just a few minutes. But first, Hammer, we're going to play an all-new edition of Is This Anything? Would you like to explain how Is This Anything works?
Absolutely. I'm going to give you, Nigel, a pop culture story that some people are talking about. You simply have to tell us if this is something, something worthy of our attention, something worthy of a conversation, or tell us if this is nothing. Waste of our time and move on.
All right.
Is this anything?
Okay, hit me.
Casey Anthony and O.J. Simpson may star in a reality show together. Is this anything?
What?
There are reports that Anthony and O.J. Simpson may star in some sort of reality show where they're living together. Is this anything?
No, that's nothing. Although I'd watch it. I don't believe that's true. First of all, OJ's still in jail in Vegas, isn't he?
There are talks he may be getting out as early as this year.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
you would watch it, though, right?
I would watch it. Yeah, Casey Anthony, OJ, you know, throw Tan Mom in there, Rupert from Survivor, Cash Me Outside Girl. Hey, get them all under the same roof. Yeah, let's watch it. Let's do it.
I'm not just saying this for hyperbole. Would you be upset if someone died in that house? Because I wouldn't be at all.
What are you talking about? Yes, I don't want anybody to die. Thank you.
That's where we differ. All right, moving on. Is this anything?
Well, is it anything for you? Was that something you believe that's even true?
I think this is something because I would watch it. Yeah. I would watch it. That makes it something. If it were a reality show with, you know, some politician and Bob Vila, the former guy that builds houses, that's nothing. Nobody wants to watch that. But these two train wrecks, I think this is something. I will watch that.
No.
Number two, Joe Biden, Uncle Joe, Grandpa Joe, says that if he would have ran for president, he would have won. Is this anything?
I guess. He's claiming he would have won the presidency had he ran instead of Hillary.
Absolutely.
He would have beat Donald Trump?
Yes.
I mean, everybody says they would have won. Everybody says this, right? Everybody. I mean, Grandpa, you know, Uncle Joe, who is the king of gaffes throughout the 8 years of Obama presidency, is now saying, yeah, no, I don't think that's anything. I mean, of course he's going to say that. Do you think he would have beat Donald Trump?
Yes, but I
really?
Also, on the flip side, though, I think a lot of people would have beat Donald Trump and a lot of people would have beat Hillary Clinton. The election was, to put it in South Park terms, a giant douche and a turd sandwich. Had Ted Cruz ran against Hillary, I think Ted would have won. Had, you know, Joe Biden or Bernie Sanders ran against Donald Trump, I think they probably would have won. If Oprah or Peyton Manning would have ran, they probably would have won, too.
I guess in retrospect, Joe Biden probably would have made a better candidate than Hillrod.
Yes.
You think so? Why didn't they put him out there then?
It was written in stone. Hillary was going to be the candidate. I mean, the party conspired against everybody else. We found that out. Bernie Sanders got the shaft. Look, I'm the furthest thing in the world from a Bernie supporter, but that dude got a screw job.
Yep.
He got the shaft. So, I think it makes sense. I think this is something, but I don't think it's anything that's shocking. Number three, is this anything? We turn to social media.
Okay.
Every once in a while, social media has one of these viral questions where you need to answer. Like, what color is the dress? Or what color are these strawberries?
All right.
The latest one going around, true or false, boneless wings are just chicken nuggets.
Okay, so
is this anything?
Every time I go to get wings and my wife orders the boneless, I look at her and say, well, we could have just gone to McDonald's if that's what she wanted. All right, it's the number 7 value size. Absolutely that's something. Chicken wings, boneless, there's no such thing. It's just chicken nuggets.
You're team chicken nuggets.
I'm team chicken nuggets. Yeah, I've never ordered a boneless wing in my life because I'm a dude.
I get boneless wings quite frequently.
I eat wings. I like to get messy. I get them all over my face. I get the wet naps.
Okay. If you go to our Twitter right now, @HammerandNigel, we've got this question up there. And the question that kind of got it all started, the screenshot of the original question, we're weighing in tonight. Are boneless wings just chicken nuggets? That's the question of the night. You can see the question, the original post on our Twitter right now, @HammerandNigel. Last thing, is this anything? A Florida man and his friend were arrested for eating pancakes in the middle of a busy intersection.
Only in Florida, right? Good Lord. Is there any more to that story? Did they have a table? Do they have silverware?
They had a table. One gentleman was filming the other man who had pajama pants on, sans shirt, a gold grill in his mouth, and he was politely digging in, chair, table, eating his pancakes in front of a stoplight at a busy intersection.
Sounds like somebody was trying to make a viral video or something like that. Yeah, that's pretty funny.
This is the actual 911 call of said incident.
Lakeland Police Department up at 508.
I've got a problem, or you guys got one before somebody gets ran over. There's two guys sitting at a table in the middle of the crosswalk, in the middle of a green light, eating pancakes.
That was a little unusual. We do have
unusual. He's that one of the guys who's got a mouth full of gold teeth cussing everybody.
So how would you respond? Let's say you're driving down A1A in Florida, right? You've got Mrs. Nigel in the passenger seat, the little Nigel kids in the back seat, and there's a shirtless dude with a gold grill, pajama pants, approaching. He's sitting at a table eating, you know, cutting up his pancakes, having breakfast.
I'm pulling over. I'm getting out the phone. I'm might even get out of the car to film. Take a picture. That's awesome. Did they have, like, you know, syrup and butter and
it was a fancy breakfast. But this is my problem with that. We've had discussions before where you've given me crap about being a rubbernecker. I admit, when I see an accident on the road or if I see something weird, I take a peek. I take a look to see what's going on. You're telling me you would have went over the top, got out, got your camera out, and videotaped it.
I gotta play the 911. The 911 caller was awesome.
Michael, police department up at 508.
I've got a problem. Or you guys got one before somebody gets ran over. There's two guys sitting at a table in the middle of the crosswalk, in the middle of a green light, eating pancakes.
That was a little unusual.
We do have unusual. He's that one of the guys who's got a mouth full of gold teeth cussing everybody.
You can't make this up. This is legitimate. Oh, my goodness.
That was wonderful.
A story I do want to get to before we go into break. I can't believe this is getting the attention it's getting.
All right.
You know, there's a major prison escape in Mexico, a shooting in a nightclub in Cincinnati. But this story about United Airlines and leggings is kind of taking on a life of its own.
What happened here?
Long story short, United Airlines kind of came under some fire after two teenage girls were barred at the gate from boarding a flight because they were wearing leggings. Now, this is the caveat here. The girls were not supposed to be wearing those due to employee travel pass regulations.
Oh, they were on family and friends kind of employee discount or something?
Right. They were flying for free because somebody they know works at the airline.
Okay.
The dress code bars travelers from wearing spandex or lycra pants such as leggings. So, guess who happened to be on this flight? Shannon Watts.
The activist?
The activist Shannon Watts saw it all go down.
Oh, she sees that unfolding. They're not letting these two girls on a plane with leggings. And so Shannon Watts starts tweeting about it. Let me guess. Is that how?
That's exactly how it plays out. Next thing you know, this is a big, huge deal. But United Airlines, though, didn't really put the fire out the way that they should have. At first, they kind of sent out this mean tweet that basically said, you know, we have the right not to seat people. That's how it came off. But that's really not what happened here. What happened here was these folks were representing United Airlines as employees. That's how it works. You get the employee travel voucher. You have to dress like somebody that works at United Airlines. And these teenage girls had leggings on, the stretchy kind of spandexy pants, and they were not allowed to get on the plane. Shannon Watts' head spun completely around.
I think.
And it blew up.
She probably started tweeting without knowing the real story then, I'm assuming. She didn't know that these two girls were under the employee friends and family, and they were subject to the dress code just like a regular United Airlines employee was. To make matters worse, I'm reading that two other girls were then allowed to enter the plane that had leggings on.
Right. They basically walked by, sucks for you.
but they weren't. They were paying ticketed passengers.
Right.
They weren't employees. Yeah, United, they probably should have sent out a better tweet than that. But, yeah, they had every right to. I mean, that's the deal.
And if you're United, though, what are the chances Shannon Watts is there, too? Good Lord. I mean, you talk about a perfect storm of bad PR. My God. Coming up next here on the Hammer and Nigel Show as we fill in for Chad Benson, over the weekend, Sean Hannity and Ted Koppel had a discussion, and we will talk about that next.
It's the Hammer and Nigel Show. We're filling in for Chad Benson. We'll be back.
Chad Benson. He's more popular in France than Jerry Lewis.
Hammer and Nigel Show filling in for Chad Benson tonight. 844-DIG-CHAD is the phone number. 844-344-2423. ChadBensonShow.com. At Chad Benson Show, the Twitter handle. or you could reach us on Twitter as well, at Hammer and Nigel. My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer sitting across from me. We have an update on the United Airlines leggings story, Hammer. We were just talking about this a minute ago. United Airlines banned two female passengers from getting on the plane because they were wearing leggings. Yeah, there's more, a little bit more to that story. We won't get into it again. But basically, these two teenage girls wearing leggings weren't allowed to get on. Some sort of dress code violation. Delta has responded via Twitter.
Uh-oh.
The competition. Delta responds, flying Delta means comfort. That means you can wear your leggings.
Uh-oh.
Shots fired.
Mike has been dropped by the folks in Atlanta. How about that?
By the way, when you get on an airplane, do you dress for comfort or do you dress for, do you dress reasonably? Like you're going
comfort.
Out in public. Yeah.
Comfort. Okay, you're lucky I've got pants on when I get on the plane.
I'm going to San Diego in a couple of weeks to visit some friends, and I am fully planning on sweatpants, sweatshirt, flip-flops with socks.
And oh, man, that's so good, though. And there are fewer things more relaxing than drinking on a plane.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, I love catching a nice little buzz on a cross-country flight. Makes the turbulence so much more tolerable. If I'm sober and there's turbulence, I'm white-knuckle gripping the seat. I'm white-knuckle gripping the armrest. Maybe holding hands with whoever the dude is next to me. I don't care.
Two grown men holding hands during turbulence? Not weird at all. Also, an update on something we've got on our Twitter right now. The question that's been kind of taking over social media is, are boneless wings just chicken nuggets? Are boneless chicken wings, in essence, nuggets?
This is kind of a thing, like some sort of hashtag going around on social media right now. This argument.
Right. It's the brand new, what color is the dress? Okay. Or what color are these strawberries? Yeah. Tony D, 1070, tweets, I love boneless wings.
Well, good. Go to McDonald's then.
You can't get honey barbecue.
Yeah,
you can't get hot and spicy.
Yes, you can. They're dipping sauces, these little plastic cups, those condiments that they serve with the chicken nuggets.
It's not the same.
If you want boneless wings, go to McDonald's. If you want real wings, go to BW3's and be a man and eat off the bone.
I will defend boneless wings. Go to Buffalo Wild Wings or Hooters and you get the real hot, spicy ones.
Sure, that's fine.
Load them up with some blue cheese or ranch. Those are wings. They're not chicken nuggets. This past weekend, in addition to all the healthcare stuff that's going on, did you see the interview that Ted Koppel did with Sean Hannity?
I watched this clip and I wasn't even sure who was interviewing who. Like, Sean Hannity kind of took over the interview. It was in his Fox studios, but it was for Ted Koppel, something on CBS.
Right. CBS, basically, they've hired Ted Koppel to be part of their weekend crew. So they rolled his beat-up old corpse out there to interview Sean Hannity, and it kind of became awkward.
We have to give some credit to the American people that they're somewhat intelligent and that they know the difference between an opinion show and a news show.
Yeah.
You're cynical. Look at that.
Yeah. I am cynical because,
You think we're bad for America? You think I'm bad for America?
Yeah.
You do.
In the long haul, I think you and all these opinion
That's
shows.
That's sad, Ted.
No, you know why?
That's sad.
Because you're very good at what you do and because you have attracted people who are determined that ideology is more important than facts.
Look at the Ted Koppel talking about ideology.
Right.
First of all, is she talking about yourself?
Ted's one of the most liberal broadcaster that's been around that I can think of. He's so old now, he doesn't know that he's biased. I honestly don't think that this clown knows that he's biased, but he's been one of the most over the top for a long time. And also, there's something to be said for the fine folks at CBS talking about business ethics and news to me. This is the same network where Dan Rather basically got ran out of the business from making stuff up about George W. Bush and his service in the military.
Yeah.
It became a huge scandal. A book was written about it. A TV show movie was written about it. So pardon me if I don't go rushing in to defend not only Ted Koppel, but CBS. That would be the equivalent of, like, John Calipari of Kentucky giving somebody a lecture on, well, I think your recruiting stuff is a little bit unethical. Stop it.
Plus, Sean Hannity is an opinion guy. He's not Lester Holt. There's certain places I go for different things, all right? I know at least maybe a little bit, well, maybe NBC Nightly News is the best example, but at least I know I'm not going to get Lester Holt's opinion or his spin on the news. I'm going there for hard news, and I know it's NBC Nightly News, and I know there's people that think it's, the, you know, a left-wing, there's some, you know, quote-unquote mainstream media, but I go to Sean Hannity for opinion and entertainment. There's a difference.
And I think most people understand that. But if you ask Ted Koppel, we're all just a bunch of goons that don't know any better. And whatever Sean Hannity says is news.
And by the way, I heard Sean Hannity talking about this earlier today. And he said there's so much more. There was like an hour. They played 70 seconds of the interview with him and Sean Hannity on CBS. And he said there was like an hour. He was pissed off that he wasted an hour of his time talking to Ted Koppel. But I mean, you know, I go to Hannity for entertainment. That's why Tucker Carlson. I listen to Glenn Beck. And I'll listen to guys on the left, too. I go to Bill Maher to listen to sometimes. Sometimes I agree with him. Sometimes I don't. It's entertainment. It's opinion. There's a difference. Okay.
Wait, you know the difference? Somebody better text Ted Koppel because that blows his mind.
Hammer and Nigel filling in for Chad Benson.
This is the Chad Benson Show.